I went through a number of boxes of strawberries, and I looked at them carefully under to the best of my ability under the magnifying glass. And as I said, this was the only strawberry that I found a thrips on. There were two other strawberries, one I found a little worm on, one I found some other green bug on, but those I think will come off in washing, and the thrips that you're most concerned about, I found that only one out of about 80 strawberries. What? And even that, okay, and even that you lost. Okay. So that's sort of where I'm at. So what does all that mean? So this is, for example, these are strawberries that after checking, I then also went ahead and washed thoroughly. And as you can see, they came out of the wash in pretty good shape. Okay, some of them got a little bit mushy, but you can see the strawberries are still relatively intact. So this is the question. The question is, where does all this leave you? Okay? Answer the question mark. Okay? But in all seriousness, what that means is as follows. There is an issue. People have to be careful in buying strawberries. That's clear. And if a person wants to eat strawberries, he has to make sure to wash it very carefully. That's the quality. There are those who want to be extra careful and will say that you shouldn't eat any whole strawberries without peeling it. You want to go ahead? All right. What is important, and I think is also, to buy good quality. If you're going to get strawberries, you got to buy good quality for two reasons. First of all, if it's a good quality, you probably have a less likelihood, even less today. It also depends on the season. I have to also mention that. The fact now it's cold. Bugs grow better when it's warm. Okay, so the fact that I didn't find so much now doesn't mean that this is not all true. It doesn't mean that in another month, it's going to still be cold, but in 3 months it may be more problematic. It also depends on the farm. If the one farmer did in a greenhouse and his next door neighbor or if it's down the field, what was in the next field, that's part of the issue, that it's very, very, there are a lot of variables and a lot of things can change. And that's part of the problem, that to tell someone, well, it's not such a problem because you can go do it because, look, I checked and I didn't find, doesn't mean that the next town over and the next week over, things maybe. So it's important to get good strawberries. First of all, if they're better taken care of, I speak with Amnon. He said that pretty much the Israelis focus on packaging nicely. The Arabs work on quantities. And therefore, generally the Israeli stuff is better tended to. The veg has been put in a house, and it's often indicated by, you'll see from the nice packaging. It's kedai to get that, even though it is more expensive, but it's not like you're buying, it's a question of 5 shekel, 10 shekel. Okay, how many strawberries are you buying? All right, so it's worth a few extra shekels, that I think we'll agree, because you start off with probably less infestation. Secondly, if you want to wash it and the strawberries are already starting to get mushy, by the time you soak it, it already begins to disintegrate. If you have strawberries that started out good, they can endure the washing. Okay? And thirdly, if you are interested in peeling, if you start with bigger strawberries, even if you peel off the outer layer, you can manage to have something left. But if you start off with small mushy strawberries, by the time you start peeling the whole thing, it's going to disintegrate.
Because you take
like a knife and just shave off the very thin layer, basically with the seeds. Right, and then after, just you have to rinse it off, obviously, right away. Just peel it and then rinse it off right away. So I'm just going to work the way down where things are. Okay. There is an issue that has to be dealt with. That's cool analytic. What are the options? Number one, if you want to be extra careful, so you peel. Okay? You get good strawberries that are big enough that you can peel. Probably a good idea to wash it off first. Just wash it off. Wash it off to make sure there's nothing loose roaming around. Wash it off. Take a knife. Peel. Rinse it off. Then you can eat. L'chol ha'dayos. Okay? It's not as appetizing, But the next thing I would suggest, again, if a person wants to carefully wash it for three times, again, I think they probably will, again, unless it's if a person does it three times, again, you have a very good chance of getting rid of the bugs. Okay, if washing three times, I think that there are enough posts that a person wants to, as an avid strawberry lover can do that. I think three times, again, I can't say completely, but there is a lot on which to base if you do it three times. To do it one time, again, there's what to rely upon, the OU cleanser that works. But again, you have to make sure to do it very, very carefully. Right? So this is sort of where, yeah.
How does this affect mass production? Yogurt, strawberry.
Okay, so what you're talking about, something which is processed, that one of the issues, that's a very important issue, which we'll get to in a session where we start talking about bugs. The reason we have such problems with bugs is that bugs, a birya, if it's intact, a whole bug, it's not batel in a million. As long as the bug remains intact, it's usur, even if it's a part of a tremendous quantity. Right? The minute that the bug is no longer intact, then it can be batel. Okay? And that's the secret over here. So when you're talking about, let's say, a fresh strawberry, nothing is happening to the bug. If the bug is here, it's here whole. Okay? So the only question is whether you've managed to get it off. But if you haven't managed to get it off, then it's still here whole, and therefore it's going to be usur. However, once you begin to process it, right, once you're mushing it, you're crushing it, then the light, there's a good chance that you're going to get rid of, it's not going to be intact anymore. Okay?
Is that relevant in the home too, or just in...
It's relevant though if you blend it.
In other words, you make a strawberry malted.
Right, if you were to make a strawberry malted, right, if you were to wash it and wash it thoroughly and then put it and make a strawberry malted, that also would...
Why would I have to wash it thoroughly?
What? Because you can't be sure, and we sort of try to do both, because we can't be sure either. If you're really going to have a malt that won't, because these things are very small, if it's really, really puree to the point that it's completely liquid, then you wouldn't have to. But you can guarantee you're going to get down to that, you're going to get down to that size, and therefore we try to make a kind of a sex faker. We wash it well, hoping that we'll get rid of the bug. And even if you haven't really gotten rid of the bug, we realize there's also a good chance that you've managed to crush it, and so it's no longer a birya.
Now, a yogurt, jam, etc., or at least yogurt, you've got langa nadling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what it does is actually to peel the...
Why? That's going to increase the cost of production.
No. Because the industry and machines do it automatically.
Wow.
I mean, they don't say... invoice the day on it.
No,
but
it's
the
weight of it.
Yeah,
yeah.
So really, just
using
a fork, crushing it enough?
No, I don't think so. No, a fork is not gonna affect you. No.
We're dropping down frozen strawberries.
What?
Frozen strawberries.
So I spoke with someone.
You feed these three
foods. Okay. That was an interesting question. I spoke with someone who sort of I understand the last tech for Ravaya. Okay, she told me she takes her 5 minutes to check a strawberry. That made me feel excited. I spent about 2 minutes on your strawberry. She told me it takes about 5 minutes to check thoroughly. So I thought I went over everything. But anyway, so she said that she wasn't sure. She has mentioned it as a possibility that freezing.
The OU said that was fine.
Right, what?
The OU in that email said the frozen strawberry was not a problem. That's what...
Okay, I don't...
You wanted to freeze it, and then when it's frozen, you froze the strawberries on the wall,
yes.
And the bug has detached from the
strawberry. I mean, I guess there are two issues. One is buying frozen strawberries from the supermarket already, and the other one is buying fresh strawberries and freezing them.
Right.
Would either of those solve... the issue?
It was mentioned as a possibility. She didn't want to commit. That she mentioned that freezing may help, but she didn't want to commit.
Broccoli, stuff like that.
That doesn't do it. Freezing broccoli is not the freezing of the broccoli itself. They don't rely on anymore, because the bugs are sort of protected within the They're within the
leaves.
Within the flower. It's called the floweret, I think.
Right.
Within the floweret, so therefore that they don't rely on anymore. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, so, well, my wife said.
Yes.
That God sent it as a sign for us, because the people grow grapes and strawberries. Actually, they will deal with this infestation and liquids, and will go into the field and spread, but they will never eat. Not strawberries or
not.
Because of the spray, they don't eat it. Any other fruits they will eat, but strawberries and
grapes.
This is going to be a problem for the rest of our lives, right? This isn't like a temporary infestation that's going away.
They might be able to get through
the grapes. Well, they're working, Gush Katif is working on strawberries. Okay, I was told that it is possible to get them in Bnei Brak. I don't know if it's this year, last year, I know it was possible to get Gush Katif strawberries in Bnei Brak. Okay? So that's one. So as again, as I said, yeah, I mean, this is just to get a sense of how hard these are to... but if you take a look, what you see under this, which is very clear, every seed of the strawberry has a little... it's a groove, but also has a little spitz, like a little pointer, okay, which is tricky, which looks almost like a bug, and that's what's part of what's hard. But what I've noticed as very identifying feature, there's always a little black tip. See, this one's here as much because it hasn't been washed. But each one at the end of the tip is a little black tip, which sort of marks it not as a bug, but rather as a as the part of the seed.
Do you have to check them after you wash them, like you do lettuce, or you just have to do the washing procedure?
According to those who say washing is sufficient, the washing, it's just the washing. And I've tried to double check, but it's basically those who say the washing is good, the washing is good enough. All right.
Okay.
Anyway, so and I can't find it. Where'd it go? It was such a nice little bug. All right.
We're very
careful
to find it, eh?
All right. But that's why you see it. It's just, I don't know if it's still here. But just to get a sense of how difficult it is sometimes to find.
Now I know this a sure way to get rid of the bug. Just bring it to shore.
Right. Okay. All right, anyway. So that's the story. Okay.
Question.
Yeah.
Does the halacha give any place for electronic checks?
Meaning?
Meaning if I scan a bunch of strawberries with the camera, and if I find with the camera electronically processing, I see that there's a bug or there isn't a bug, can I define it as kosher?
I'm not sure which...
You're using your eye. Human eye, okay?
Right.
If I scan the strawberry with a machine,
like the new day,
optically.
If I
scan the strawberry optically,
I don't see any reason why it shouldn't halachically be good enough, as long as the check is sufficient when being done by the machine.
Because there's connotes that whole issue. I mean, we can do also shchita checking with electric equipment.
What do you mean by shchita checking?
You need to check the knife.
Yeah.
You need to check some of the leading.
Right.
You can do all kinds of checks.
But how then?
And solve a lot of halachic.
How are you going to do? I don't see how you're going to do it electronically better than.
I can x-ray the
poor
chicken and make sure that it doesn't have any...
So I'm going to give him a soft, you know, x-ray work. You have to do an MRI.
MRI.
Go ask the doctors how much an MRI costs. You want to start doing MRI. If you're worried about the hydrogen being expensive, you start doing MRI. Start giving MRI to each chicken.
Well, then an MRI for chicken is much cheaper.
But
the best yogurts are ones with fruit chunks in them. Is that the problem then? Is those chunks are not mush?
I was not able to verify. I sent the Rabbanut an email. I tried calling the Rabbanut. I wasn't able to get them in person. And I tried to send an email. I sent them an email, but I couldn't... I didn't get a response. I sent today. What's Rabbanut's position about this? So I don't know what the rule is. So they said,
I think it's quite clear.
They may suffice on washing it.
Okay. Also restaurants that serve strawberries and the Tashkahal and other notes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they do
it. And
lots of places. So
okay.
There's one rule for everything, don't mm-hmm. they?
As I said, if it's washed thoroughly, there's what to rely upon. And that's what, that's what was done all the years. And Ravayas himself in the Sefer, again, this is five years ago in his Sefer, he also wrote that way. This is something which he changed in the last couple of years with the emergence of these swifts. But 5 years ago in his Sefer, he also wrote to wash thoroughly in that manner.
When you wash them, they have to be spread out, so they're not touching each other,
or if you do in the water, they're gonna end up anyway.
No, I mean, but my question is, how many can you put in? Enough that they're on top of each other, or only like spread out on the bottom?
Oh, you put in a big bowl. Take a big bowl. They have room to.
It's okay if they're on top of each other. Then.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just have a bowl. All right. So I'm sorry, I don't have Exhibit A here. Okay. Maybe I really wanted to show you. Okay, anyway. Fine.
The last thing about
yeah.
There was a certain incident about
the
Chief Rabbi?
Rav Amar. Okay. So there was some English article which Rav Amar said that the whole thing is not correct, which the article, unfortunately, was not accurate. Rav Amar gave a shiur in Karnei Shimon, in which he discussed the halachic din of a bug which is too small to see. And that was the focus of the shiur. He said, no, there may be bugs that can be seen, but we're discussing bugs that you can see. Okay, and that was the focus of the shiur of that. Okay, since these bugs are visible, that whole shiur has almost nothing to do with this. Okay, he did mention at the end of the shiur, he did talk again about washing thoroughly, soaking and washing a number of times. Okay, that he did mention at the end of the shiur. I was told afterwards he may have retracted from that, so I'm not sure what his current position on that is. But again, the point is, it's very clear that if you want to eat strawberries, you need to, at the least, okay, to soak it for a number of minutes in water with some suds, with a little bit of, you don't want too much in, because you don't want to say, it's a little bit of, and shake it around, okay, and then wash it off thoroughly under a stream of water. That's what's definitely required. You want to be more careful, you can do it three times, it increases your possibility of cleaning it. Okay, you want to be super careful, then you have to peel it, okay? But as I said, I think that there certainly is room if you wash at least.
But if you wait for 2 minutes on the strawberry, it's also good.
What?
If you waste the time and check each strawberry.
If you have to know what you're looking for. That's when I spoke to Ravai, and I didn't find anything. And the first question was, do you know what a trip looks like? Mm-hmm. Okay, and I said, well, I can tell you for sure. I mean, I saw the picture, I saw the video, and I saw the book. I haven't seen it. It wasn't until I got this. Sure, thank God I have at least one strawberry today who has had it, otherwise I couldn't say whether I know or don't know. Now at least I did see that I know what it is. And you're able to see it without the night. You're able to see it with the magnifying glass. It's to train the eye, because as I said, because it's so small without a magnifying glass, again, sometimes it's roaming freely, which you can see like a very small white line moving along. But a lot of times it's sort of crawling around the seed, so it almost just looks like the seed itself just looks slightly larger. So it's almost impossible to see when it's crawling around the sea, which is what it likes to do.
Isn't the sea black? And isn't the fish white? So don't you like?
Go check.
Yeah. Look at the sea. Look at the sea. And you'll see the seas. You'll
see. They're all whitish. They all have white color.
Okay.
Okay,
and you see the depressions, how,
yeah.
Right, so that's what, so there's a lot of times we'll crawl around amongst those depressions. Okay, alright, so that's as far as strawberries, that's as far as I can tell you. I can tell you definitively, you must do this, you must do that. Basically, there are three possibilities which I'm giving you. Okay, if you want to, the OU holds, then that's what was done for many, many years, and it is what to rely upon, as long as it's cut off the top and washed thoroughly, let it soak, and then wash off thoroughly under a strong stream of water. You want to be more careful, do it three times, okay, at least twice the soap, and if you want to be 100% certain, the only way to be 100% certain is to peel. Okay, fine. Adkan is fine as strawberries. There were a couple of issues. There were some other issues in terms of trumosomiasis that I wanted to discuss. We discussed last week, went through the basic idea of how to be mafis trumosomiasis. And I wanted to discuss some points. What happens if, for example, you're not in your own house, but you go to visit, which comes up, you go to visit somebody, and he's not reliable as far as trumosomiasis, what can you do? When you're a guest in somebody else's house, okay? What can you do? You're a guest in somebody else's house and you don't know if he's alright, right? So here there are two levels of what not reliable means. You can have someone who grows his own stuff, in which case you have an actual concern of tevel, and you can have a person who you don't necessarily think he has, he grows his own stuff, but you don't know where he bought it. He may have bought it from a shuk, from this buyer, from something which you don't want to rely upon. You're not sure that you don't have a real concern of tevel, but you have a seriously concern of whether it was sufficiently done. More what we call like a suffix that we'll call demai for our purposes. There is somewhat of a difference between them. Basically, certainly for demai, if you're not sure that it's tevel, you go to someone's house and you don't know where he buys his stuff. He may have just gotten from his local shuk, may have from his local store. You're not sure. So it is possible. What you do is, you can rely on what's served to you, or at least what's served on the table. Certainly, what's been served to you, what you take as your serving, is yours, and you can be mafresh. You take a little bit. You take more than 1/100. You cut off, let's say, if you take on your plate 3 pieces of potato. Okay, so you cut off a 33rd. Cut off a 30th of a potato. You cut off a little piece of potato. And without anyone seeing, you gently move it to the side, okay? And then you say that, as I mentioned, if you don't know how to rattle off the whole nesach in your head, you're not going to take it without your paper there in front of your host, if it's not. But you can say, as you mentioned, the short nesach, that all the afashot shumot ha'asot should be chal according to the nesach that I have, that should be in the shir, whatever, nesach for the shari tefillah members. Right, so that's what you can do that. If it's tevel, definitely tevel, it's a bit more problematic because that's the question: does it really become yours or not? There's a bit more of a question over there, but I guess it's helpful, but it's less rare. You don't often have things as tevel, but if not, at least I think even as a question, what's when you're served as a guest, that's part of the question. When you become a guest in someone's house, what does that mean? Are they giving you the food, or they're allowing you to eat of their food? Okay, there may be a difference here, and this I would say, there may be a difference between what you actually have on your plate and not. Because it could be that once it's on your plate, he's not going to take it back anymore. It's not, what sort of serves before you, there's a question of whose is it. Okay, but it could be that once it's taken onto you, you've already taken it and you've put it on your plate and it's going to eat it. He's not going to want it back anymore. Still, he's going to let you have it. So I think this is what's relying. Once it's on your plate, I think this is what's rely upon. So again, you just cut off more than 1/100 and say that the nusach that fashak should be chal based on the nusach that I have, and that's what you can do. What happens if it's on Shabbos? Okay, you're going to somewhere for Shabbos. Right? On Shabbos, you're not allowed to be mafish chumos hamasa. So what do you do if you're going to somebody's house on Shabbos and you're not able, and you again don't trust him as far as the chumos hamasa? Here there is a difference between tevel vaday and nas tevel vaday, because there is a possibility Yerushalmi talks about of making a tanai before Shabbos. The Yerushalmi says that if you make a tanai before Shabbos, then it is possible to be mafish on Shabbos. Although there's a gzeradab not to be mafish, but with a tanai, you can't. What is the tanai? The tanai basically means saying the whole nesach ahead of on Friday, and then repeating it again on Shabbos. Okay, that's what the Yerushalmi seems to say, that if you said the nesach on Friday and said it again on Shabbos, then it works. So here's the question of what is actually happening. Is it basically just a, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, but once you sort of set an Erev Shabbos, everything that I'm going to do tomorrow, you sort of say the Nusaf, but in the future. The piece I'm going to take, that I will take tomorrow should be Chuma, and then the other piece should be Maaseh, and the piece that I should be, you know, everything has to be changed from present to future Lashon. Then on Shabbos, you say it again in the present Lashon. So does that mean basically you're doing it on Shabbos, but since you sort of did said ahead of time on Shabbos, so it's not as nikar, it's not as evident, it's not as blatant, and therefore they allowed you to do it on Shabbos? That's one possibility. Or are you sort of really doing it on Erev Shabbos, sort of to be chal, sort of a time delayed, that the fashas is really taking place on Erev Shabbos, time delayed till Shabbos? So that's the question of how to understand it. Let's do the simpler understanding, seems to be the second one. That basically you're doing it on Shabbos, and you're doing it on Shabbos, and therefore you're doing it on Shabbos, and therefore if you were to make a bracha, it would be then. But here there's a difference between Tevel Vaday and not. If it's Tevel Vaday, you can only do that on your stuff. Okay? Meaning, that it's something that you have Erev Shabbos. And let's say, for example, someone came to you for Shabbos, just before Shabbos, 5 minutes before Shabbos, they pulled up to you, and as you're walking out to shul, they stuck you, I just picked this off my tree, here. Okay? And you don't have time to take care of the chumas and maaseh now. So, it's tevel vaday, but you already have it, right? But you already have it, it's in your possession before Shabbos. So then, you can go ahead and say this tonight, and you'll take care of it on Shabbos, you'll take care of that hafashah, you'll take care of the hafashah chumas and maaseh. Whereas, if it's Tevel Vaday and you're going to somebody else's house, then the Tanai won't work. It means that if you're going to somebody else's house, you know that he's going to serve you Tevel Vaday, you can't make the Nusach because it's not yours yet. It's not yours yet. But if it's not Tevel Vaday, which is the most likely situation, just someone who you don't know where he bought it, but it's not Tevel Vaday, then even if it's not yours yet, you can still make this Tanai. So therefore, if you're going to summer, you don't trust the Chumas HaMaisos, even if you're going to go there for Shabbos, okay, unless you know, yes, Tevel Vaday is going to serve you, which is rare, you can again say the Nusach on Erev Shabbos with Balashon in the future language, and then on Shabbos, again, you cut off more than a hundredth, and you say the Nusach again, or just say the short Nusach, you know, the Nusach, the Hafash should be Chal, like the Nusach that I have, and that will enable you to be Mafish on Shabbos. First of all, if it's vegetables.
Yes, but if it's fruit.
Right. And if it's fruit, look, it depends what. Let's say, for example, oranges, almost all winter fruit, there's very low incidence of orla. Okay? So it's not the kind of thing you have to, the possibility of being trimethylmysis depends, you know, it doesn't make a difference with it. But many fruits.
You know, you need something like that, for example, where everyone has new fruit trees.
Right.
It's not such a low possibility, even on.
No, but fruit doesn't grow the first 3 or 4 years on these types of trees. But what I'm getting at is.
We have to buy. We have a limonene tree, it's not a year old, and we've got nice limonene coming off of it.
Well, first of all, when you say it's not a year old, what do you mean it's not a year old?
You mean you bought it 4 years old.
It was a little teeny baby we bought, we put it in the ground, and it's already having fruit. So
you bought it? How
old was it when you bought it?
We didn't ask, it was small, we don't know, and it wasn't...
How high was it?
Well, like my knee, a little higher than...
If it's talking about something that's up to here, it's probably... Alright. Again, I don't know. Okay, fine.
It's not unlikely in a place like this where you have new holds that, that even the Priyasa Dara...
Okay, so, this, okay so, all right, so two things. If it's in a place like this, I'm hoping that the people will be alert to...
That's a new neighborhood.
Okay. No, no, I'm saying... Okay, so see, you're right. If it's a situation where the Messias is such that there's a significant concern, then, you know, then there is. Yeah, if there's people, especially because there are people going from Chutzlaretz who may not know about Trumot and Masrot, they may not know about Orla, they didn't come to the... Unfortunately, they didn't come to the Kashrut, they didn't learn about all these things. All right. So then it's an issue. But yeah. What? Okay. What about Netaravai? Netaravai, which is the fourth year, again, Netaravai is Nenusach. So that's not the that. What? You can't hear. Right. Okay, but I'm saying when a person is mafish shumas amaisa, who also generally are. You know, if they weren't mafish, they could also be netaravai. Okay, but tevel and netaravai is pretty much the same. Pretty much the same thing.
I got my question.
Yeah.
My question. It's a hot day. I'm in the city. I see a juice bar. No hashgacha whatsoever. I just want fresh fruit juice that they're squeezing in there. Can I work around these issues and drink my juice?
Okay. If they were to squeeze fresh juice, you can get around. If you would put, let's see. Well, what are the issues? Orla. Okay, as I said, by orange juice, instance of orla, oranges is very low. You don't have to assume that oranges are orla. Okay, unless you happen to see someone going a little tree, then. Okay, but in general, in the shuk, you don't, if you've seen orange, you don't have to assume orange is orla.
Right.
Chumas and maizos. Okay, so you'll have to pour off. You get your juice, you're going to have to pour off. A little bit more than 100.
Does it pour over? Can I save from the bottom?
You would have to say you would saving the bottom. You get to the issue of brera, which is not simple.
Okay.
And therefore, definitely, you should pour off at a time. Pour off more than 100, or more than 100, and then you don't waste it. You have to find time to pour it into. Okay. So if you have a liter, so you pour off about a teaspoon is 5 milliliters. Okay. So if you have a liter. Okay, so you'd pour off. So you'd pour off about a little bit more than 2 years.
Can pour it through a drink?
What?
Can pour it down a drink?
No, because you have to declare it as chumas amaisa.
Oh,
because
I got to put it in a cup.
Right. All right. You have to save it, put it into some container. Yeah. Okay. If you're talking about half a liter, so you're talking about a little bit more than a teaspoonful. Okay. So, what? Can he? Can you? Okay. The problem is, and that's which is the bigger problem. Again, it gets us back to bugs. Okay? Back to bugs. On the orange peels, there are bugs.
Ah.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So if a person's just masked,
right.
You know, just taking...
Just put in the machine
and he's not, and he's just squeezing it. That's what I'm most concerned about. Because if there's no control over that and he's just mass squeezing them.
He has one of those juice machines and he's just squeezing it.
He's squeezing it and it's not being properly strained.
That's him not. That's right.
That's the issue which is gonna be the biggest problem. Now what? Okay, now oranges again. The problem again. This is we have a different discussion of bugs. But these are issues on the peel. They're little round things on the peel. Those are bugs. So when you eat an orange, okay, you just have to be careful when you cut it that you make sure that you look at the orange that you don't see the orange on it, and you may see your hands and just be careful that the little round circles in the peel don't make their way onto what you're eating. If you're just mass squeezing, then there is a possibility which I have to check. Because we say that a miyat hamatsui, although you have to check, but if you're not able to check anymore, then b'di'evad the food is mutter. Okay? So let's say for example you have juice in your house and someone went ahead and you had such a thing which someone took a strawberry and dropped it in your soup or something. Okay, so even though you were supposed to check, but you're not able to check, and well, the food doesn't become asa if it's a miyut. Okay, a miyut hamatzah, you can check. Again, we'll discuss when we get to the bug. So it could be in this situation it would be allowed, but the question I have is whether when you go and you want to buy from him, can you still say, well, that's a case of b'di'evid? Okay, because who told you to buy, just go buy a Coke and get the rice. That's that. So we'll get to that. Okay, what about it goes in the garden with people want to know, ask, yeah?
Is there any problem though with, like you said, the first 3 years, none of these fruits grow. But like in the Agudimin, like we're buying trees that are 5-6 years old from...
Okay,
like
so Orla again. Orla is Mitzvah Shem next week. We'll get to Orla. Okay, this week is Trumasomysis. I want to wrap the Trumasomysis and move on to Challah, and we'll get to Orla. Okay. As far as what is chayav in Trumasomysis, okay, what do you have Trumasomysis from? Basically, all produce. The one exception, which is relevant, spices, certain spices, you don't have to imafis Trumasomysis on. Okay, and therefore sometimes people grow herbs and spices, some yes, some no. Basically, there are three groups here. There's stuff which is also eaten as food. Okay, let's say parsley. Okay, it's not just with spices. People will cut it up, they'll put it in the salads. And it's also eaten. It's eaten intact as a food. Okay, that you have to mafish with a bracha. Okay, then you have the other extreme stuff which is used only as a spice. Okay, let's say yes, tea leaves. No, nobody eats tea leaves. Okay, that's used only as a spice, that you don't have to mafish chumasomyces from. Okay? And then you have all the things in between, which is sometimes used, often not used, some places yes, some places no. Okay, in which case you should be mafish without a bracha.
But the amfosha is on any shoe?
What?
The amfosha is on any shoe,
you say. Right, okay, right. That's an important point, that chumasomyces, it doesn't matter how much you have. Okay, even if you have a very small amount, you have to be mafish shumasamasot, and therefore if you took in, you want to squeeze some lemon into your juice, okay, and you have one little lemon, by the time you take off 100th of that little lemon, you're talking about a little sliver, doesn't make a difference. You have to be mafish shumasamasot in any amount, okay, or if you took in a little bit of herbs, okay, and you're going to put into your little bit of herbs, and you're going to use it for your salad, and you can wash it off, and you can put it in your salad. Even if it's a little bit, you still have to be mafish trumot u'ma'asrot.
Now, if I take, let's say, nana.
Okay. Yes. Okay, nana again. So that nana will be one of the in-betweens. Because some people eat it, but it's not clear. It's mostly without. Therefore, nana which is very common. It's something you should be mafish trumot u'ma'asrot from nana, peppermint, but without a bracha. What?
Nana is a fosha from the leaves anywhere and throw away because of the...
in the times of when the chuma was given to the masot, or given to the Kohen Levi, you're not supposed to take from the bad stuff, but nowadays anyway it's being disposed, so if this matters that we do allow take from the stuff which is not as good quality. Okay, so you can take...
You could actually pick something that you would never even take. I mean, I'm taking 9 clementines from my clementine tree.
Right.
And I see a tent there that I was just going to leave it. It's just,
right.
A bug already got to it. There's a little lightning.
Right.
But you know what? I'll take it and use that to separate that.
You could do that. You can want to do that for sure, right? You can do that, yes. Okay. You can do that. Okay.
And don't take the bug from the tree.
All right. What? Hefker doesn't need chumot masrot. If you find stuff which is hefker, doesn't need chumot masrot. When the issue comes up, what happens if you're going out? If you're going on a tiul, okay, and therefore if you're just picking wild stuff, you're going on a tiul and there's stuff. So there are cactuses growing, and you pull off sabros or whatever. That's hefker. It doesn't make a difference how many you pick, because it's hefker. It's not chayav in shumas masos at all. On the other hand, if it's something which is not hefker, but you're eating outside, derech arai, that you also don't have to be mafish beforehand. So if you're eating out in the yard, you're just going to take a fruit and sort of eat one at a time. Then it's you're allowed to eat it also without being mafish shumot
masrot. So when we go on a tour, we take fruit with us for snacks.
No, because you already brought it into your house. No, I'm saying that if you're eating out in the field, Okay, you're picking apples on. You're picking apples. You're going to an apple orchard, and you're going to pick. You're going to pick apples and eat them. What?
The cherry festival.
Cherry festival. You're going to go and you're going to pick cherries and eat them. So then, achilat arai is allowed until you, if you haven't broken through, until you bring it into the house, you're allowed to eat achilat arai. Once you bring it into the house, you're not allowed to eat achilat arai anymore. However, what is considered achilat arai? Arai doesn't just a question of how much; it's a question of whether it has kviut or not. And therefore, even if you're going to eat one after another, but it's not, but it's also, you know, even you may end up eating five, but you take one at a time, it's still baderach arai, unless you saw, you know, I'm going to have now a meal of oranges. And if you, if that's going to be your meal, and you think of it as a meal, even though you have only one, it's still as chayv and shemot amasrot, because you've, or let's say, for example, you're having a meal, and so for dessert, let me go pick an orange. So even though you've picked only one orange, but since you're incorporating as part of a kviut meal, it has kviut, and then you would have to mafish shumot amatzot. But if you're just snacking and sort of on a ad hoc basis, then you would not have to mafish shumot amatzot. Okay. If you collect a few together, all right, that in many situations, let's say in terms of in the yard. Once you start collecting a few together, that is chayva in shemot amasrot. So if you start taking, if you start pulling off a few at once, then you should just take one at a time and eat them, because once you pick off a few together, then already they are chayva in shemot amasrot. There are a few details on this point that have to be clarified, but in principle, if it's hefker, then do what you want. But if you're eating in your field, it's not hefker, but you're eating achilat arai, you should take one at a time and you shouldn't take a few together. Okay, so that's as far as the strawberries, as far as Trumot and Masrot, and Mr. Hashem, next we'll go into a issue of challah. Okay.
We discussed last time about Trumot oil for Hanukkah.
Yeah.
If I'm not supposed to be taking Trumot in general, how am I allowed to take the Trumot oil? How is it that they're giving the Trumot oil away to Kohanim? What's the difference between the oil and taking real Trumot and Masrot from fruits and vegetables?
Well, the truma, you're not allowed to eat, because you're tamei, or the food's tamei, you're not allowed to eat it. But you are allowed to, but truma, which is tamei, is meant to be burned. So you're not going to typically take an orange and burn it. Doesn't do you too much good. But oil, it's very good for burning. Okay, now, technically, the same as a lady, since you can't prove your coin, I don't think you can go to the Kutzat Yavna oil factory and insist that they give you the oil. On the other hand, they have nothing to do with it anyway, because they're not allowed to use it. Okay, a Kohen is allowed to use it. Yisrael is not allowed to use it. So they have nothing to do with it anyway, so that's why they have nothing to gain. When it comes to the Maaser, the Yisrael can tell the Levi, prove to me that you're a Levi. If you can't prove to me a Levi, I'll use it, because the Maaser has no Kedusha to it. So the Yisrael is allowed to use the Maaser. I mean, it's a monetary issue. But there's no Issa, in terms of Issa v'heter, there's no Kedusha to the Maaser. So the Levi comes, the Yisrael said, prove to me you're really a Levi. How do I know you're really a Levi? And then when the Kohen comes to get his oil, there's no reason for me not to say, go prove to me your Kohen. Because if you don't prove, because even if I hold on to the oil, what am I going to do with the oil? I have nothing to do with it anyway.
Isn't it better for you to hold on to the Kohen not to take it, because I might not be a Kohen?
Well, look, you do duchen and you do come up for rishon, you do assume your coin. So as far as dinim mamonos, we say what's mechal al paraya. But as far as the isuv heter, you assume your coin. You're not going to marry a grusha, you know. So as far as these things, we assume that you're a coin. So you can use the oil to burn.
Yeah.
Okay.